December 2, 2020, it's the Walt for Pedro Show.
Yeah.
Watt for Pedro Show. Happy Wednesday. First Wednesday in December. Last month of the year. Brother Matt, quit in quarantino mode, so he's a couple miles south at Love Grotto on the Pleasure Point. But I am not totally man alone, people. Because of those genius software innovator inventors in Estonia with their Skype invention. I got the garage dogs with me. Hey, Paul, Bill, Matt, welcome aboard.
Hey, what's up? Mike, how you doing?
What?
Good to talk to you, man.
Great to be on, man.
Okay, it's bitching to have you aboard. We start off the show with John Coltrane. I want to talk about you, something live from 1961, November 18, a little bit ago. And then from the brand new Garage Dogs album, Dump Truck. Okay, beautiful album. I love it.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
Real proud of it.
Congrats. Where are you guys talking to me from?
We're up in Boston, Mass.
Boss. I knew it was. I thought it might have been Gloucester. But I knew it was a fishing town in Mass.
Yep.
The people I first met, Matt, he was living in SoCal for a while doing fishing off of, I think, King Harbor, Dondo.
We were fishing out of there in Marina Del Rey, man.
In Marina Del Rey, right. Not Pedro, but close enough.
Fished off Pedro.
Yeah. But I think you had your boat on the west side here. Pedro's funny, people, because there's a peninsula, so we actually face east. That's why I got sunrises and not sunset.
That's nice.
But anyway, that was a lot of moons ago. Good friend of Raymond Pettibone's, and me and Matt made a connect. I didn't really know he was into music and had brothers that... Anyway, I want to learn about you, all three of your journey through music. So who wants to go first?
Well, basically, we all, you know, we weren't that close as kids.
Is this Paul talking?
Sorry, that's Bill talking right now.
Yeah, it's Bill talking.
Okay, let's have Bill go first then. Bill, what's your earliest musical recollection, please?
Well, when I was born, we had an old stand-up green piano in the house, and I would just kind of go and play on it whenever I could. I just always was drawn to music. Our dad was a big, you know, singer and performer, so the house was always full of music, and it was just always a part of my life from as early as I can remember.
Bill, you're telling me as soon as you were born, you jumped on that fucking piano?
That's pretty much what he did.
I had a piano teacher try to convince my parents to send me to be a prodigy in Switzerland.
Okay.
I was 4 years old, and all I could play was four fucking notes. So my parents asked if I had any interest, and I thought, not at all. And then, of course, I was not a prodigy, as life eventually proved, but I have had a really good time playing the piano.
What was your experience with the piano teacher? Because when we've had people on the show, it almost drove them away from music.
She was hugely encouraged by my kind of appetite for it and my natural kind of, I guess, harmonics that I would bang out on the thing. But, of course, I did not actually see much past the four notes I was playing, and so I assumed that that's what my life was going to be, except in Sweden, and it just didn't appeal to me at five, you know?
Sweden or Switzerland? Both?
I don't remember. I think it was one of them.
What about at school? Were you in the choir or the marching band or shit like that?
I was in all of it, yes. I played air trombone in my college marching band. My high school music teacher had gotten me a scholarship to help me go to school, but I couldn't play the damn thing and march the way that these other kids were doing it. So I would learn the steps and then literally play air trombone. I would try to eye what position the other guys were in. But sure, I did, you know, theater as a kid, and I sang in the choir because we all grew up in the South, so that was pretty much mandatory.
So you worked the bone. You learned how to read bass clef?
I did.
Okay, that's bitching. What was the first record you bought with your own money?
The very first one I bought with my own money was the Saturday Night Fever soundtrack.
Yeah.
I was 6 and a half, and I was fascinated by it. So my dad took me up to Zodi's in Bakersfield, California. I think it was $7.99.
Now, where do you get $7.99 at 6 and a half years old?
I think my parents might have helped me with it.
Yeah. See, because I ask about your own money, because when you're young, you ain't got much. So that You really got to make it count, right? What about, Bill, the first gig you went and saw?
Oh, you know, the very first gig I saw, I took myself to see Prince on the Purple Rain tour when I was 14. None of the other kids at school were listening much to Prince. They were all listening to Journey and Pink Floyd. So I was obsessed with Prince, and two friends of mine and I got on the bus and went to Birmingham, Alabama to see the Purple Rain tour.
Do you remember the movie?
Oh, my God. I had it memorized. I used to walk
around. Remember the lady? I think she's called Apollonia.
Yes, that is her name.
Well, no, her real name's Patty Cotera. She's Pedro.
Oh, really?
Oh, wow.
I didn't know that.
Well, that's why you're on the show, so I can enlighten you. Yeah. I knew there was something you didn't know. But she was 1 year behind me in high school, me, Georgie D. Boone. And Apollonia was her name in that.
Yeah.
Prince, and Revolution, right? Great band.
Absolutely great band.
Who wants to go next? What's your earliest musical recollection, please?
I took piano lessons probably around 5 or 6 years old, and did not have the love affair that Bill did.
Okay, that's your first memory.
That's my first memory.
Okay, it's having a bad time with the piano.
Yeah.
Okay. What about the first record you bought yourself?
First record I spent my own money on was Michael Jackson's Thriller.
Yeah. Yeah. When that record came out, that's when I wrote the Mike Jackson.
Hell yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I thought Mike Jackson sang that song, I'd never have to answer political questions about the Minutemen. They'd know exactly what we were about. But I never got word back from the management, so ended up being a Minuteman song.
Damn right.
Now, Paul, were you in the marching band or the choir, shit like that?
Yeah, I played trumpet in the high school band, and I was decent enough, but I never marched or anything, and then... After, I think, about the 10th grade, I stopped doing any kind of school-related music.
Yeah. I just wonder, because some schools got rid of their fucking art and music programs.
You know what? It's a shame. It's true.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's why I always ask that question. You know, because we all got different paths to get to where we are now. And everybody's got a unique one, even if you're fucking brothers like you cats.
Yep, true.
Well, we should get to fucking Matt. Matt, your earliest music recollection, please.
Well, I also went to Miss Matchner, the piano teacher. And she hated me and I hated her. And she would smash my fucking fingers into the goddamn right key every time I'd miss it.
Ooh.
So I hated her. And
bad experience.
That was about it until I picked up a guitar 15 years later.
Okay, so you didn't do the school music thing.
Didn't do it, man.
Okay, that's all right. What about the first record you bought for yourself with your own money?
No problem. That was Appetite for Destruction. My brother Paul, when I was in fifth grade,
You're not talking about the painting by Robert Williams. You're talking about the record by Tons of Poses.
The way he took me to my first concert was Motley Crue, and opening up was... Guns N' Roses, and I was too young to really give a shit too much about the music, but I remember all the women and just rubbing up against them. You know, I was only like fifth grade, and I just never seen so many boobs and tits in my life.
So you bought the records because of the gig?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I didn't know which one came first.
I think it was me.
No, the record or the gig.
Oh.
It don't matter. I want to play Ecce Homo.
It's easier for them. There is nothing more about you.
crossroads. Right at the crossroads. Right at the crossroads. Sense of a cloud, crocodile snap. Back to the flash. Temperance ran through the blood like the smack in the veins of my dad on the max. 17 and 50 down my granny's pad. Been on my homie's couch grinding, this too shall pass. Sacrifice fast, no cash for food anyway. Had to make a play overseas, cost a fat about 8. Quarter pocket, cut the jazz. John Stockton, no longer babbling in Babylon about tiny trending topics. Here today, lost in Miami. Dancing with Diablo for the cha cha chips and salsa. Berengue, Slovakian, slave descent, salvation through our Holy Father, Yahweh. The only way to win, thinking we'll get away with what we do in the darkness. I've been led astray, slug. It's in our true me and them. Crown of the crossroads. Crown of the crossroads. Pushing through the pain in my brain. Rain, rain. Wash away the blood, since I face pain. Pushing through the pain in my brain. Rain, rain. Wash away the blood, since I face pain. Push through the ways of rabbits like Moses in the middle passage and a wicker basket as I rise in my life tricks. Pack light like only a bendle stick. Love to stick around, but I hate being in the artificial mix of colors and shades. Biggest of smiles turned upside down and darkest of days. Energy, currency, it's all the cost we exchange. Conquer the world, accept the caucus came. Taught the divine language, famous for the frame. The artist of artwork, rename the beast. Tamed by a civilized, solidified mind from the highs of the most high. Stay alive, long enough to see the villain die to the one that's died. Vilifies just nobody in my yeah. Crown at the crossroads. Crown at the crossroads. Crown at the crossroads. Crown at the crossroads. Pushing through the pain in my brain. Rain, rain, wash away the blood, since I face pain. Pushing through the pain in my brain. Rain, rain, wash away the blood, since I face pain.
How And then I say, music, is this music? I would play.
You'll practice 6 days a week. You don't feel like playing, do you?
Very shaky situation.
Watford Pedro Show. Yeah, that was Ecce Homo from the brand new Garage debut album. Wave the Brain after that brand new Italian Finnish duet out of Barcelona. Big gracias to Romano Milo for flowing me that. The comedian, Faded Joker, The Comedian Falls by Puppet Midnight. This is a one-man bass band out of England. Quack Quack out of Leeds, England, Mars. Nappy Napa, brand new solo album out of D.C. He's a singer, man, a model home, and great new album, Howling Clown. Then we had Laura Silver out of Italy, Bologna, with Shaky Situation. Johnny Mark and the Ricks with the late, great Frankie Onwe from the Suburban Lions. He passed away a couple of years ago. S is for Stress, of course. Bomas Brendan, D.C. area, Salutation. Imperfect Misnomer from 38, Angry Tires, which has one of the Bomas Brendans. And Pal Franklin from Dose. And finally, Friends from Garage Dogs. Now, you know the thing about after school with the garage band, with the bedroom band, the basement band. Now, you guys, three brothers, you probably make a band together, right? I'm just guessing.
Well, not for a very long time. We had very different interests in school. It wasn't until right around I was, 20, which would have put Matt at 18, 19, and Bill at 22, when we all kind of got together on some holiday and realized each guy was playing music on their own. Before that, we really didn't, we'd exchange cards on the holidays, but we weren't kind of walking the same path at all up until then.
Sure, sure. Now, Matt was saying he got on the guitar.
That's correct.
So what'd you get on?
Well, I started out on the guitar. That was my primary instrument.
I thought it was fucking piano.
Well, started out. I mean, I started playing for fun when I picked up the guitar.
Okay.
That was around my teenage years. And then once the three brothers got together, some kid had left a drum set at my apartment. So while, once Matt picked up the guitar and Bill grabbed the other one, I just sat behind a drum kit and kind of that's how I picked up the drums.
Yeah, probably around Paul, how does somebody leave a drum set at your pad accidentally? Fell out of his fucking pocket? I mean,
he was, and he left it there for the summer. It was we were in college at the
time. Oh, like kind of storage rock.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Understand. Like, how do you forget a drum set?
Yeah, I know. Well, by the time he came back from for the next semester, I was
appropriate.
I was lobbying heavy for him to leave it at my place.
Okay, I understand that. I understand. So, was it easy for you to jump from piano to guitar to drums?
The guitar was relatively easy for me to pick up. The drums, I'm still trying to learn how to play the drums 25 years later.
Shit, I'm doing the same thing with bass, okay? Now, so Matt, you just stayed on guitar, right?
I did.
Where did you get your first guitar?
I got my first guitar. I traded a 22 for it in college.
Listeners out there, that's a pistol.
Yeah, it's a 22, yeah. And then when we first got to Boston, I was selling some weed, and the guy at the music store, I sold him some weed, and he gave me an 84 American-made Tele that I still play as my sole guitar after 23 years.
Yeah. And what was your first amp?
First amp was a Fender.
Yeah.
Still, I'm looking right at it. It's a Fender Super 112. A little tube amp. Heavy as hell, but a decent sounding amp.
Yeah. Well, that's what came.
Once we became a band in Boston, we didn't have a car. So we used to have to walk a mile to the train station with two amps, two guitars, a bass amp, a bass, and a drum kit. And the four of us would trudge through the snow. It took about an hour to get there, and then we'd have to walk.
You slept this shit.
Hell yeah.
In your arms. Okay.
Yes.
God damn.
Gotta get to the
snow, huh? Not even a shine cart, huh? It was all slept with the arms.
Absolutely.
Okay. And, well, who's left?
Bill.
Bill. No, yeah. You got on the bass?
No, Sue's on our bass. We actually started off with, I was on acoustic guitar eventually by the time we all hooked up together because the piano was just too heavy to lug around. And so I do a lot of piano on this new record. Because, you know, that's become kind of my primary again, which I really love. Devin McGuire was the original member of the Dogs, and one of the reasons we moved to Boston from Alabama, because you've got to move somewhere from Alabama. And, so Devin was with us for years, and then when,
you guys were Mobile?
Yes, we were. Right. And then we went out to California, and then Devin, stayed, and when the band kind of got our act back together, I've been working with an amazing bass player named Susan Goldberg. We are a dual piano bass combo, and so she's the bass player on the record, and she's the one who plays with us.
Okay. But I want to get to the record, you know. I want to get, like, into, like, the proto beginnings of the Garage Dogs. Cause in fact, can you tell me about the first Garage Dogs gig?
Actually, probably not the best one to tell the story. But once we all got together, we spent a weekend in New Orleans and then a weekend in Jackson, Mississippi, forming our own band. But each of us had our own solo gigs. So we hooked up with John Anthony.
Wet Willie
out of Mobile, and he recorded us, and then he put together a gig for us at a bar in Mobile, Alabama, which each of the three of us did a little solo set, and we were going to have a Garage Dog show at the end of it.
Can I ask you if this bar was on Dauphin Street?
Yes, it was. Yeah, man.
Because everything fucking in Mobile has on Dauphin Street. Anyway, go on. I'm sorry.
You know, that's cool. We didn't get a chance to play because during Matt's solo gig, he somehow offended the sensibilities of everybody in the club, and they kicked us out.
Oh, shit.
Actually, we had to leave on threat of violence. It was turning in violence, so we had to skate.
In the early days, so many of our gigs ended in bar fights that we got banned from a lot of places because the material was a little edgy and we were a mess.
It's true.
You know, I had a sad Mobile gig because I found out right before going on stage, Jack Bruce had passed away.
Oh, yeah.
And, man, I didn't realize it, but it hit me fucking hard because I owed that man so much on the bass, you know.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
And after conked at friend's pad, Todd. And you know the thing where you get the YouTube.com, you're looking at the videos, drinking up the bourbon, and man, that was a heavy night. So the first gig was kind of a disaster. Well, you didn't get to do it. So tell me about the actual first gig where Garage Dogs got to play.
Would have been Boston, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
Bastille Day in Boston, 97. We played at a drag bar called Jacques
with
Rick Berlin, who's a Boston staple, and that gig went pretty well. There was still plenty of property damage and I think a couple of punches thrown, but for the most part, that would have been our first gig, Bastille Day 97.
It went off though. Did you do the thing like the solo sets before?
No, we were done with that.
Okay, I was just curious.
Yeah, no.
You know, life is the greatest teacher, right? You learn from the experience.
Yeah, true that.
Kind of like that. And okay, so Garage Dogs. That first set, was it mainly original material?
Yes. From day one, it was original. We'd throw in a cover, but we would heavily influence the cover, kind of in our own style, but always our own stuff.
Yeah, you'd make it your version, right?
Exactly.
The first cover, because we were doing just nasty punk rock in those early days. So the first cover we did was the old Snoopy versus the Red Baron song by, I think, the Royal Kingsmen or something. It's a silly pop song. And then within a couple of years, we graduated to I Want to Be Your Dog and No Fun. And then for a period of time, we would just play Sister Ray. We would literally go on stage, play Sister Ray for 45 minutes. They call us back for an encore. We play it for another 9.
Whoa. And with the key, but was there organ?
He was on, Bill would have switched back and forth. So we'd have brought a keyboard, and then Bill, during the show, would jump back and forth between the keyboard and the guitar.
Because, you know, I've done Sister Ray with Tom Watson, no keyboard, but, yeah, that's one reason why I always wanted to play with an organ player was that fucking song.
That fucking song.
I love it. I love it. Look, we're at the end of the first hour. Time. December 2nd, 2020 edition of Watt for Pedro Show, special guest Garage Dogs. Hold tight for hour 2. December 2nd, 2020. It's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
You talk of the web and watch television. You keep it together. I'm hearing your vision. You meet at the movies. This might be the one, but it's already over. There is no love, there is no love. Focus on fuck scenes on a loop in your head. Cause if it's just you, then you're already dead. There is no love. There is no love. There is no love. There is no love. No, not below. And not above. It's all a lie. There is no love. The shines off the apple. These words are not wise. But if you're drowning in dope, well, fucking open your eyes. There is no right. There is no wrong. There is no hope. This is no song. No, not below. And not above. It's all a lie. There is no love. Lie.
And then I'll be the toast of the town. tell me I'm your man. I'm just trying to get a few thousand people to remember my name. I'd estimate there's about a half a million around here trying to do the same. And I reckon I'm just as unknown, baby, as unknown, yes. But if you're on my side, baby, if you're on my side, I sure ain't calling it quits. But it's an uphill struggle till you reach the top. Then from there, make it in showbiz, honey. I tap dance, baby, on the head of a pin. I make a pile of money. People will line up all down the block to see my latest review. Doing the shimmy, shimwabba, and the cakewalk, baby, and the woo-hoo-hoo-galoo. And when they turn off those old stage lights, and we're back home holding each other tight,
Thank you. One hand taken, one hand been. I'd rather have your arms around my throat than waving me goodbye. Don't trust me when I call you Jack. If I smile, don't turn your back. Close to the bone, I was scared.
Pedro Show started the second hour off with Love Song 2, Garage Dogs, and Sam Bennett, Showbiz, The People versus the People, Tollum, Toe Punt, What If This Was Real, Man, The Thomas Scott Quintet out of Liverpool with Marinette, Temple of Bon Matin, and Wilcox, we had on the show last week, great drummer, man, Mighty Rider. Don't Kiss Me, I'm Running Out of Lipstick by the World Inferno Friendship Society. And finally, Temptation by Garage Dog. So let me try to understand, how is a Garage Dog song written?
Well, the three of us are all songwriters. And from a very early moment, I encouraged Matt and Paul to sing the songs that they wrote. I had had a little bit more experience, and they felt less kind of, I guess, accomplished or practiced to sing. But, you know, there are just so few bands out there where everybody in the band is a songwriter and sings. You know, The Who did it, The Beatles did it. But there's just not that many bands where you can get that many kind of vocals and viewpoints. So usually one of us will come up with, either sometimes a completed song. in the early days, we just improv stuff. And so on the early records, a lot of stuff was just songs that had been noodled about. But usually one of us will have one and bring it to the band, and then we, you know, beat it up for a while and figure it out, and then it's a garage dog song.
So you're saying on the other record, so this ain't the debut album then?
No, we've actually taken a break. We had a kind of a four record run in the 90s into the early 2000s, and then kind of peeled off.
It's like a Renaissance record.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah, that's don't call it a comeback, but you know what I mean.
No, Renaissance. That's a
right. There you go. That's
more
good.
Deeper word. So you're telling me you make each cat makes a demo and then shows it to the other ones?
Not so much it'd be more about we would just get together and say, all right, here's my new song. What do you think?
Okay.
Just play it. We lived together for many years. And so the bulk nowadays it's different, but in the early days we were all living in the same house.
Yeah.
So we would just go downstairs three or four nights a week and whoever had something they were working on would just be folded into the mix.
Sure. But what about like for this album?
Well, there's a different story because, we all are on, everybody's got a different path right now outside the band. So, Bill is the primary songwriter, I'd say. So he'll workshop some songs he wrote. He'd played, perhaps a little bit solo and then some he wouldn't. Matt usually contributes about three or four songs on a record, and then I'll write probably one or two. And it's more about just, hey, let's get together and hear what we've been working on. And the stuff that makes the cut, we start jamming together and work it out.
And as far as words, like the cat who brings in the music also brings in the words, or do you write to each other's music?
90% of the time, the guy that brings the music brings the lyrics. But there'll be plenty of times where, we'll say, hey, what sounds better here? This is what I'm trying to say. And we'll hammer out lyrics together. But for the most part, the songwriter already comes to the table with the lyrics written.
Once the band adopts a song, it becomes more a communal property. And so everybody weighs in, and we may, change a bridge, change verse order and stuff like that. But usually, the guy that brought it is the guy that, it gets the final say.
Well, I'm wondering about Love Song 2. Was there a Love Song 1?
There was. That was on an album. That's actually Pettibone did the cover for it. It was 2005's Withdrawal.
I know that one. I know that one.
We'd never written a love song. People used to give a shit about it. So I wrote a really sarcastic love song. And then I think Love Song 2 is one of the ones that I kind of had a notion for it. But I think we pretty much created that one in the studio. Even Television, which is kind of the single that we're releasing at the moment, was pretty much created on the spot by the band.
I'm going to play Television next hour, but right now I want to play No More.
Oh, nice.
Been on this boat about 20 years. Looks like it'll be fun.
fever dreams had broken down my mind and left me with a weight. Just won't let me find a time where a man can waste some money and lay it all right on the line. Inside these fever dreams, you'll find me sweating through the night. You know it's cold in this old motel room. The TV's broken, so am I. I wish I had a drink of water, or even better still, some wine. It's this damned old fever dreaming, keep me losing track of time. I'm lost again out on the highway, like I've been 1,000 times. These damned old fever dreams left me hanging on the phone, dragged me through the foggy morning to a place where no one's home. If I just had a drink of water, or even better still, some wine, I could break this lonesome fever and find my way back to the light. Sweating through the night.
enjoyed. What's that smell? Spirit calm, deep fuck centipede, who can tell? Mantic grew to prostitution, a balcony. She's looking for the time. Gotta find a window in time. It's always on my mind. My face is a place when I leave us alone. Yeah, face is a place that only can go home. Yeah, face is a place of a mother's face, a mother's face. Hold on, the doctor calls. Looks like it's gonna be a long night. So put on your gloves, take a deep breath tonight. At times there's a dumb voice, speedball, goofball, living for phone calls. Hurry up, daddy, oh, I'm running out of time to climb. It's high, the mine, and I can get it off my mind. Space is a place where they'll leave us alone. Yes, space is a place that only can go home. Yes, space is a place of a Johnson boy. Cop an eye on the immaculate head. No shit, it's a race.
Got the golden key, the top police, never come creeping in. Knocking down the door, cover your stereo, looking for the evidence beneath your chin. We fly tonight, have a patty, New York, meet Kiki in Berlin. I miss the chunkies and the queer tincture, this is our fears. We assemble and await your word. Like the song I ever heard. Genius, and they all saw Charles, think Alan made you fear. They think that Mexico is where to go when you need low, but they're wrong, you go to Tangier. Yes, faith is a place we can go home. Yes, faith is the grave of a mother.
Pedro Show. Beginning of that chunk of music was No More from Garage Dogs. Matt, and people, you heard Matt ask, or not ask, tell you, you know who wrote that. So what's your guess, what's your guess out there, people? Which brother? I can't hear you. Germanotto Youth after that with Magic Music Maker. Then Scott H. Barham, brand new stuff from him, Fever Dreams. Cleveland with Sea Level. Actually, Sea Level out of Cleveland. And that's the letter C, right? Matt works on a fishing boat, people.
Yes, sir.
Noda. After that, Lewis Cole with Window Shop. And finally, Space is the Place, Garage Dogs. Yes, it's a little Sun Ra. A little Sun Ra. Have you read that book? John Swed wrote a biography on Sun Ra called Space is a Place.
I have read it, and I love it. It's also, much of that song is inspired by Burroughs, William Burroughs, the writer. So I was doing a little bit of a mixture. You know, Burroughs famously said that the human race will not evolve until we view Earth as just another space station. And so I did a little bit of a nod to Sun Ra as well as to Burroughs, and just kind of, you know, you mix your metaphors, and sometimes it tastes like shit, and sometimes it's pretty good.
Well, you know, yeah. But, you know, songs are trippy things. They almost have lives of their own, but you're right. You can put them together from different parts. Yeah. And I was thinking of that book by John Zwed, and I recommend, because Sonny Blount, an Alabama guy too, but Birmingham, and incredible cat in a way.
All right.
Yeah, his life story is pretty incredible, and so I recommend that book. Where'd you guys record this new album?
Skyhorse Studios in Needham with
Dan McCormick. Dan had this beautiful new studio. I mean, basically, when we started finally in the garage, we really wanted to have the Stooges career or the New York Dolls or the Velvet Underground. Like, that was our model. And, you know, after that first run, we realized that all of those bands put out four great records and broke up because they weren't making any money. And that's pretty much the same thing that happened to us. And then over time, you know, we still would play together. And I still have a band, you know, the Scream Along with Billy with Sue Goldberg. And the brothers back us up when we tour and stuff. But finally, everybody started writing new songs around the time actually our father passed. And we were, you know, really tight. And everybody got a little bit, you know, introspective, and we all kind of hooked up, and everybody had written a big, new, beautiful song. And we were like, fuck it, it's time to do another dog record. We found this guy, Dan McCormick, who had this beautiful studio in Norwood, and his idea was that we kind of record all the basic tracks live in this cathedral-sized room. And so much of the backbone of this record is from those original live takes, and then of course, you know, you tweak it and hammer it out a little bit over time.
Yeah, would you say that he kind of is it self-produced, or do you give him the producer?
No, we produced it, but he was an incredibly and you know, he's actually still kind of working with us on it. It was a wildly collaborative experience with everybody, and he had some great ideas and really, really certainly helped the shape of this record come together.
He was working the knobs. He did all the miking up, like what we would call engineering, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, so he would engineer it, but also we're very open to ideas and suggestions. You know, when we work in the studio, we bring in the engineer slash, you know, tech, whatever, the guy who's working the buttons, to the extent that they're comfortable doing it. You know, kind of hammering out ideas. And, you know, I think that if we worked with somebody different, we'd still have the same songs, but there would probably be a different sound on a couple of them, you know. So we welcome his contributions.
Yeah, that makes good sense. Look, we're at this end of the second hour, December 2nd, 2020 edition of Watt from Pedro Show, special guest, Garage Dogs. Hold on, hour three. December 2nd, 2020. It's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
Hey there, boy, you better settle down. 'Cause they're talking about you all over town. And what you did to her soul. When they catch you, you're gonna stop. And they're taking everything that you got. And the sheriff and the preacher bring you down. And they're dragging you right through town. Maybe what you're gonna do when it all catches up.
Show start off the third hour with Television from Garage Dog, a tragic comedy with Thoughts, Bronze Age UFO, tragic comedy. Old, they ended up moving to Peterborough, but they're from the Hill. Bronze Age UFO out of Baltimore with Jazz on a Cenobite Day, and then Going Home from Garage Dogs. I think I remember a Kiss song called Going Home.
Yeah,
maybe. I don't know. Somebody was playing me something of Paul Stanley reading a book. Him talking. He wrote about the band, I guess, or something.
you know, I didn't. I didn't love Kiss, but I love Bob Ezrin.
Well, he made their kind of breakthrough record, right?
Absolutely.
Alice Cooper too.
And Lou Reed's Berlin.
Oh, right, right, and also the. the live records with the kind of his little crew there. It's Dick Wagner, Steve Hunter, Practice John, and Whitey Ford. Interesting about we saw Kiss only once when they had a record. We saw them before they ever had a record. They opened up for everybody in the, you know, those days, early 70s. Middle 70s. Right. Actually, middle 70s. You know, Savoy Brown, Wishbone Ash, that kind of shit. I remember the first album when we finally heard it. It was so slow compared to what we were seeing at the gigs. What, with you said that you did all the basic tracks in a big room. So that was done pretty quick, and then what, you came in later to do overdubs and stuff?
Yeah, pretty much. And a lot of what, you know, a lot of what you hear in are from the original live tracks I certainly more than half of what made it to the record are from those original live tracks. And then yeah, we'd come back in, you know, it would start out with you know, for example, if you know, there was a, I felt like one of my my drum performances on a song just didn't have enough balls, so I'd go back in and lay those down, or Matt would want to tweak something. And then once every man sort of fixed the things he wanted to fix, it went to, you know, we'd sit down and listen as a group and just kind of say, you know, like Bill said earlier, once it becomes the property of the band, there's no sort of, nobody sort of gets to final vote. So we'll just discuss it as a band and make those tweaks, you know, at that point.
Did you get a chance to play these songs in front of people before you recorded them?
We did. This process started shortly after, like I said, you know, after my dad passed and we were all spending a lot of time together and writing. And we went into the studio about 4 years ago with, I would say, about a third, maybe a half of this set. And we actually started tracking a record with a different producer. And then over the last 4 years, as we've been out there, we got to play several of these songs live quite a bit. Like some of our fans and people who follow us, you know, watch us online will know some of these tracks. But by the time we got back into the studio shortly before the COVID disaster, we basically had a fresh set of songs, we kept the good half and, you know, had supplemented it. And then once lockdown happened, you know, Dan, the engineer, called us and said, why don't we finish this record up while everybody's got nothing to do? And so we all, you know, raided our bank accounts and went in and finished.
Well, one of the reasons I ask is because you think it helps to tune out to play it in front of people before you record it?
Oh, absolutely. My God, yes. Absolutely.
I have to agree with you because I've done a lot of records where I've never played one fucking song in front of people. Then you do a tour. And goddamn, right, if the tunes sound better.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're much more, at least as far as myself, this is Paul, much more about live performance. I love being in the studio and tracking this stuff and having basically a record of the things that we've done. But it's all about playing live for me.
Yeah, I agree. I want to play. Look, I played this already on the show because Matt floated it to me when you got it ready. But American Dream.
Thanks, man.
Of his wallet, and the measure of success is the measure of his wife's tits, and the measure of happiness is decided by the size of your home. We used to have readers, we used to have thinkers, we used to have surfers and workers and bleeders, and now everything's a disease and a problem that nobody owns. The ignorant vitriol around the nation has replaced thoughtful, meaningful conversation and we
Don't cry. You gotta jump the heart. You gotta
get, so don't complain. Just count yourself as lucky if each day is the same. Cause good and bad alike both go down the drain. And off you go. I'll say this once, so keep it close. Then I'll be gone. My daddy died, but my mom's still here, and we're still hanging on. And when I'm back, you'll be the only two know where I've been. Sift and shit for a bit of gold on the river too. Shit, you gotta keep the faith. You gotta hold the line, or you will pay by Margaret to fall in mine. Don't wanna play your bet, just don't wanna make you fall. Don't every man deserve a break before he falls? Bring it on down, the night approaches in California's cold. One day I was still a lad, but last night I grew old. And don't speak out of turn, but you must be told. This will get hard. So take this with you, keep it close and burn in the fire. And if they don't believe you, let them think that you're a liar. And don't let no one tell you who's a saint and what's a sin. See, that ain't the way we roll on the river to sin. Yeah, take this with you, keep it close and burn it in the fire.
Walk for Pedro Show, last music for this edition. Garage Dogs with American Dream. Then History with Butter Teeth. And I've learned it's not an acronym. This is a fucking word. Immer. Name of the band. The Proj, whatever. And That Heat. Maybe not punk rock, but pun rock on, what was that England band? This Heat? Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Just a guess, people. Whenever from Music with My Insane Friend. And finally, River Duchesne, River of Dogs, right?
That's it?
Yeah, somebody's speaking French here in the Garage Dogs. Okay. Where can people find you guys on the internet?
Well, we've got a Facebook page. We all have our own, but the Garage Dogs have a Facebook page. And, you know, you can find us on all the streaming sites. We've got lots and lots of, you know, YouTube videos. So, we're pretty easy to find.
Can I ask you if the Garage Dogs have their own website?
It's under construction right now.
That's good. That's good.
We still had one of those old school 1990 websites with a picture of us.
Yeah, but at least it's yours, you know? Whenever somebody tells me that the only presence you got on the web is on some corporate billboard.
True that.
Yeah.
You know, I can understand stapling up a flyer on their telephone pole, but if that's the only place you exist, you don't have control over your message.
No, you don't.
Yeah,
and
I'm not going to be dictator about it, but it's just a strong suggest. People, get your own website. You can get WordPress sites for free. Remember in the old days, what were they called? You said you had one, but I can't remember. There was two big companies that did them, and they had
like a MySpace page and
even before that shit in the 90s.
Yeah, we had our own page. I can't remember the hosting name either, but we had our own page, and we would write. I'd sit there with a book, and we'd learn how to do all the HTML writing. We did it all ourselves.
Yeah, I think Lycos or Trapeze or. There was these name of these sites, and they were pretty. But at least, kind of like fanzine ethics, huh?
Yeah, true that,
okay.
Yes.
Okay, what's the plan right now? So people, it's in the construction. Do you know what the URL is yet?
For our page, it's www.garagedogs.com.
Oh, okay.
So, but it's we're working on it right now. Yeah. I think all if you found it would be just a couple of pictures.
Sure, sure. But down, so, down the road, down the road.
And down the road, yeah. But right now, the sort of the best place, the best presence to find us, like you said, is putting money in Mark Zuckerberg's pocket. But but it's the Facebook page right now.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Not so much my waste of space place anymore. It's a fake look. So look, I'm curious. You said you had more than you needed for the record. You got extra songs?
Oh, sure.
Always.
So are you thinking of a new record soon, even though that this baby just came out?
We had so much fun getting back in the studio and making another record because we're all such huge rock and roll nerds. So, like, we spend weeks figuring out side one, side two, even though most people don't even listen to records that way anymore. But we really are very proud of the records we put out, even when we were, you know, just kind of young rapscallion alcoholics. I mean, we still had pretty good instincts. So I think we will. It's not going to be another 15 years, certainly. And I think, you know, as soon as we feel like we got a strong set of songs that have some sort of linking goal, that we will head right back into the studio.
You're saying that this new album has kind of a theme?
The record, just because it was written kind of at the same time, you know, over the last 4 years with what the family went through personally, you know, the death of our dad, but also what was going on in the country politically. And we were all reading Nietzsche, which is where, of course, Ecce Homo and Beyond Good and Evil come from.
Right.
So that doesn't sound totally punk rock, or maybe it does. But again, yeah, we again mixed our metaphors and it kind of worked.
Fred Nietzsche, he's every young man. Exactly. Young women, too, maybe, should read him, because he, some intense staring to the mirror boy kind of thing, right?
Exactly.
Just check it out. I love that spirit you guys got, man. I can't wait to hear the next one. When you get it done, when you come back on the show?
Quite. Oh, man, yeah, anywhere else.
It'll be our pleasure.
Okay. People, it's been the December 2nd, 2020 edition of the Watt for Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.